Making Ireland Home with Henry McKean on News Talk.
It's Henry McKean here. This is Making Ireland Home. The year was 1990. Sinead O'Connor topped the charts. Mary Robinson became the first woman president. And I moved here and made Ireland my home. I was an 11-year-old schoolboy. We came from Scotland. I went to school here. I studied journalism here. I met my wife here. And I've now been living here for 33 years. And recently, I became an Irish citizen.
I,
Henry McKean.
Of
Skerries.
Having applied to the Minister for Justice and Equality.
Having applied to the Minister for Justice.
For a certificate of naturalisation.
For a certificate of naturalisation.
Hereby solemnly declare.
Hereby solemnly declare.
My fidelity to the Irish nation.
My fidelity to the Irish nation.
And my loyalty to the state.
And my loyalty to the state.
I undertake to faithfully observe.
I undertake to faithfully observe
the laws of the state.
The laws of the state.
And to respect its democratic values.
And to respect its democratic values. That was Judge Brian McMahon, the presiding judge, who asked us to say an oath at the citizenship ceremony. I felt so proud. My citizenship ceremony lasted just 40 minutes with the Department of Defence colour party on parade. I met people from around the world and I could feel the warmth in the air. God, I'm feeling quite emotional just even thinking about that. A very special time. So many personal stories shared. Here are some of my fellow new Irish citizens.
It feels great. I have a mixture of emotions, really. It's overwhelming.
So I can hear an emotion there in your voice. It means an awful lot for you.
Definitely. Because my husband is Irish, my son is Irish, and I've lived there for 5 years. I've experienced everything Irish. I've been welcomed by the Irish community, but it's not legal. I mean, okay, I live here legally, but I am not really Irish. But this, I've been given the rights, and it's an emotional thing because it's fantastic. It's just, I'm Irish now. I am from the Philippines. I will always be a Filipino by blood, but my heart now belongs to Ireland.
My name's Lucy, and I'm from Scotland, even though I don't sound like it. And I got married to an Irishman in a refugee camp in Kenya in 1998. I'm a bit like the Normans, you know, becoming more Irish than the Irish.
My name is Schubert Formofort Fonja. I originally come from Cameroon, but right now I'm Irish and I'm all in, and I'm really grateful to be part of this great nation, and I'm hoping and knowing that I'm going to excel in the rest of my life, because this is the first day of the rest of my life and I'm very happy to be Irish. There's no doubt about that, 100%.
So you're all in?
All in.
Yeah, my name's Cornelia. The ceremony was so lovely.
Do you want to say hi to anyone in Arklow?
Just Arklow in general. It's a lovely town, so just the family, I guess, you know.
Over the next hour, we'll be meeting people who have made Ireland their home, and we will celebrate with them this St. Patrick's weekend. First up, I'm joined by Faisal Meza, founder of 92 News Ireland, Abigail McConnell, Global Mobility Officer at Trinity College Dublin, Dr. Ahmed Basarat, Department of Respiratory Medicine in Tala University Hospital, and Maria Dickinson, General Manager of Debray Books. You're all very welcome. Maria, tell us your story. You're originally from the UK, Liverpool. Am I right in saying
that's right.
That?
Yes. Scouser by birth. I've actually been here 25 years now. And last year, that meant that I've actually spent more of my life in Ireland than I have
without giving away the UK.
So I thought I should finally get around to getting my citizenship.
Oh, congratulations.
25 years later. I came here after I graduated for a job. I applied to work in Trinity College in the library and did a year there and loved it. And it was just supposed to be a year, like so many of us. And I loved it here. I instantly felt like home, made very good friends. And
because Dublin is so similar to Liverpool. Yes. I only went to Liverpool last year for the first time for Eurovision, and I felt like I was in a mini island.
Yeah,
people were so friendly, so helpful. Only 37 minutes on a little plane.
Yes.
And you know, just a beautiful, beautiful city. You have made Ireland your home. How did it feel to become an Irish citizen? How did it make you feel inside?
You know what? I was absolutely blown away by how powerful the day felt for me. I mean, it, in many ways, you know, getting citizenship was kind of a technicality, you know, as a British citizen. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you enjoy a lot of privileges here in terms of, you know, being able to vote, being able to work. You know, I'm married here. I have two children. My sister lives here. My mum has moved here recently as well. So, you know, to all intents and purposes, this is my home. But I really found, and I'm sure you guys did too, the citizenship ceremony was incredible. And what was lovely as well is how kind people were about it. You know, for my friends and my colleagues were all celebrating with me.
Because I did see some stuff on social media about you and your family. They did paintings, they did drawings, the children. And, you know, there was a massive celebration.
Happy Your Irish Day was
the card
I got from my kids.
It was like a mini St. Patrick's Day, wasn't it?
It really was. So people were so kind.
A huge celebration and so much pride, so much joy. And friends, how do they react to you becoming an Irish citizen?
No, they were, really. I was so, and my in-laws as well. You know, everybody was so, so kind. I mean, for me, I suppose there were a few things that kind of triggered this decision to do it. I'd been meaning to apply for a long time, but I suppose on the one hand, Brexit and everything that's gone on at home.
We won't talk about that.
but that's less like the place that I grew up in. And also, you know, my father died 2 years ago, and I think there was kind of an urge to make this very much, you know,
put down roots after 25 years.
Actually, I think Helen McEntee referred in her speech to, you know, being the place of your heart, which really struck a chord.
Because it was a wonderful ceremony that the Irish government put on, and such a celebration. The judge said you could remember your past, you could remember your heritage, but you could also become an Irish citizen, and you could become both. And that richness, I mean, you're bringing all that Liverpudlian richness, which includes so many things, including obviously soccer and the Beatles and you name it. You're bringing that here, and your love of books and your knowledge too. Faisal, tell me about your journey settling into Ireland from Pakistan.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Newstalk. I came here in 2007 and I got my nationality, my Irish citizenship back in 2022, December 2022. It was an emotional time for me. I still remember when I got my Irish cert in my hand. I rang Deputy Head of Mission, Pakistan Embassy, Shahid. And I told him, look, I'm shivering. I'm feeling like maybe I did something, I crossed some line or something. I born in Pakistan and I sworn in today that I will be Irish and Ireland will be my country. And I have to protect this country as well. If, God forbid, someone will attack on this country, I have to fight for this country. So he said, no, this is a very good thing what you did, and we are happy for you that you are dual national and you got Irish nationality as well. And we are proud that you're kind of, you become Irish, and we feel like you're ambassador of Pakistan in Ireland. So my journey, I'm a journalist, and what I have seen and how I have seen this country is totally different. I went through a lot of troubles, a lot of difficult times here in Ireland. I wrote stories for the Sunday Times. I was an investigative reporter, and I went through a lot of trouble time in this country. Not from the local Irish or not from the system, but the people, they don't like the system or they are out of the system. But anyway, I learned a lot. I interviewed two last Taoiseachs of this country, and the way this system treated me, I feel like this is more than home for me. And I want to add one thing, that the way the current government, and especially Helen, is working for immigrants, we feel safe when she is there. And the way they are, they're making things easy for immigrants, and the way they are protecting us from a lot of negative things on social media, that is something we want to appreciate.
Abigail McConnell, how does it feel to become an Irish citizen? How are you feeling? Tell us your story.
Well, honestly, I never saw this day. When I was young, I never dreamed that I would move to a different country, let alone become a citizen of a different country. So, yeah, it's like a crazy dream. Still can't believe it's true. So, yeah, it's great to finally be Irish.
So when did you come to Ireland? I mean, being an American, what brought you here originally from America?
Well, when I was in college, I decided to study abroad, and I chose Ireland because my father thinks that we're Irish based on our surname. So I said, OK, I'll go to Ireland. So I was here for 6 months during college. And just before I left, I met my now partner. So I decided to relocate to Ireland.
So you found love in Ireland?
I did, yes.
And, you know, I understand you've been across the country. You've visited so many places. Tell us about where you visited.
Well, when I first moved here, I lived in Galway. So I was there for 4 years, really enjoyed it, really felt authentic. And, you know, during my time in Ireland, I've been to almost nearly every county at this stage. Whenever friends or family come and visit, I'm the tour guide, and we go everywhere and anywhere.
So you've been to the Cliffs of Moher, I understand?
Yeah, probably about 10 times.
And do you as friends, do they think you have an Irish accent at this stage?
I think sometimes they do. It depends who I'm speaking with sometimes. Some of the words I say are a bit different now. Even the vocabulary has changed. I've had to change some of the things I say, like trash to rubbish or...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had to say parking lot the other day in America because I don't know what a car park is.
Yeah.
Probably similar the other way around.
Yeah, no, definitely. Another example is the boot of your car. So at home, that's the trunk.
That's the trunk, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The sidewalk instead of the footpath.
And bangs have gone. I don't know what bangs
were. Bangs, yeah.
That's a fringe, isn't it?
Yeah.
And whereabouts in the States did you come from?
I came from Connecticut.
So it's so similar to America, but so different, isn't it? So much greener here in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a lot greener. Bit of a similar climate all year. So I'd be used to the four seasons. So here it's, you know, they say four seasons in a day.
Yeah, no, it's so true. You guys in the States have, you know, really different seasons. Proper snow and proper fall, as you would say. Dr. Ahmed, you know, what brought you here? Tell us your story, how you ended up here in Ireland.
Thanks for inviting me to the news talk. I came in Ireland in 2016. And really what brought me into Ireland was I tried to obviously reshape my... I was a fully qualified doctor back home. I'm from Pakistan originally. And I just wanted to reshape my future and to try, obviously, practice medicine outside my home country, which was Pakistan. And now, obviously, it's Ireland. I can proudly say that. And hence I came to Ireland initially for, you know, six months to a year to see how it goes. And here I am since 2016, I'm here. And now since 26th of February, 2024, I'm a proud Irish citizen.
Congratulations. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, I understand you've worked in different parts of the country. You've worked in Cork, you've worked in Dublin, you've worked in the Midlands. How do they all compare?
Well, I suppose, I've worked in mainly two parts in Midlands and in Dublin, but yes, I've seen patients coming across from all over the country, right from Cork, you know, Donegal, Waterford, Wexford. So there's a mixture of, you know, patients we see every day. And I can say to you that I would actually see maybe 10 to 15 different forms of Ireland every day, you know. It's a combination of a lot of different people we see every day.
So I understand you had to work through the pandemic and through COVID. That must have been tough.
It was. So COVID-19 actually brought me more closer to Ireland. I gave my best to Ireland, gave my time, obviously a bit of family time as well, you know, and working in obviously respiratory medicine, which was very closely linked to COVID-19. It was a very difficult time, but I can proudly say today that health department and HSE, they worked really closely with us as well. And I actually got a medal of a souvenir in from my own hospital as well, acknowledging our selfless commitment and devotion, to our patients and to the hospital.
Congratulations. And that's the thing with medicine around the world. It's the same. We're all the same humans, and we all have, the basic medicine is the same wherever you are.
It is. It is actually, yeah.
And, your favourite place where you've lived so far, was it Dublin? Was it South Dublin? Was it North Dublin? Was it Cork? Where was it?
Well, I would say Dublin. I love Dublin. I mean, I've been here since 5 years now. I really like Dublin, in comparison to other places. And also, especially because it's like a cosmopolitan, centre now. And it's, everything is easily accessible.
Like, for you, what was the greatest thing about becoming an Irish citizen?
Well, I feel privileged and honoured. Feel honoured to become an Irish citizen. I just think that becoming an Irish citizen has opened a lot of further opportunities for me in terms of further progressing in my own medical career. Visiting other countries around, representing Ireland and also Pakistan as well, because I'm a dual citizen now.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming in to join us. I mean, it's great. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Yeah, and thank you. Can I also say that, being an Irish, I was not born here, but Ireland was born in me. Hence, I'm an Irish citizen today.
So Ireland was born in you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic line. What do you mean by that?
So what I mean to say is that I came here, learned how to, obviously learned the culture here, learned how the Irish people are, and Ireland became in me. And this is what I want to say is Ireland was born in me.
And Faisal, you want to jump in there?
Yes. Well, I remember I was walking with the business minister, Neil Richmond, in City Centre after the whatever incident happened there. I was walking there with another fellow Pakistani. He recently got the oath to become an Irish citizen. And he said, yes, I got the oath and I am still feeling the Pakistani and I don't know I'm Irish or not. But then Neil Richmond, he jumped in and he said, you don't have to be born in Ireland to become Irish. You are Irish.
And I suppose I'm going to open that up to everyone, all of you, really. Becoming an Irish citizen, for you, Abigail, I mean, do you feel more Irish today than perhaps you did a few years ago?
Of course, certainly. I've been here 7 years now and I feel like Ireland is more home than back home is. I know that's a strange thing to say and to feel, but ever since coming to Ireland, I've just felt this like community and belonging that I wouldn't have had so much at home. So it's just really nice to have a family and a community here in Ireland. I've really grown to love this country.
And what do you love about Ireland?
It's a mix of everything, really. The people, of course, have certainly been really welcoming and friendly. And you get that feeling of community, even just when you're walking down the street. People say hello and how are you? And everyone's looking out for you. Whereas at home, I didn't really ever feel like that. I didn't know my neighbours all that well. I didn't know half the people I went to school with. Whereas here, it's
there's a community and there's a friendship and people are friendly and they say hello to you. Back in the States, would they say hi in the streets? Not so much?
Not so much, no. Everyone's kind of caught up in their own world. So, no, it wouldn't have happened.
Do you think, I know this is a kind of a personal thing, do you think Irish people are a bit nosy? Do they like gossip?
A bit, yeah, but it's always, it's harmless.
So it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, bit of crack.
Yeah, Faisal, what do you think? Do you think we like gossip? Do you think, what annoys you about Ireland? We're being positive here, but what annoys you about the country? And that's open to everybody.
Well, the thing is, this country is still living and want to live within humans. This is not an AI world. This is not an AI country. Just cross the border, go to UK. Maria is here. Things are different there. Their next generation, or even the same generation, they're more into technology. They're more relying into AI things, but this country is more relying on humans. As you said, you go to Donegal and you feel like you're surrounding within your cousins. They know you.
I know, it's true. Donegal is full of like cousins.
This country's Taoiseach, he know me with my name, by my name.
So you and Leo Varadkar, I understand you've interviewed him.
Yes, I interviewed him. I interviewed Michal Martin as well. But once Leo Varadkar called my name, I was amazed. Like, Taoiseach, you know me.
That is amazing. And quite starstruck. And Amit, for you, what do you love about Ireland? And what annoys you about the country compared to, you know, your heritage?
So let's talk about what I love about Ireland. The society, very progressive society, you have lots of opportunities to progress. And then, of course, like, you know, they're very welcoming, people respect you a lot, most of them, I would say almost all. And the profession I'm in, obviously, you know, it's most like a two-way thing. And I feel honored, you know, to treat my patients in the hospital and obviously, you know, in the healthcare setting. What I don't like about Ireland, I probably will say weather.
It doesn't stop raining.
Yeah, exactly. And you never know it's going to rain or it's going to be a sun outside. So you have to be prepared for literally everything whenever you're going to step your foot outside the house.
And you're making people better and you're curing people. And you're here for good, and you think Irish people appreciate that?
They do. Definitely they do. And I get lots of, you know, feedback and sometimes presents as well, you know, when we treat, obviously, a very sick patient. And I'm a Muslim, so what I believe is that if you treat one human, it's like treating the whole mankind. And this is what I practice every day.
And you know, we mentioned a few top politicians there. When I say top, I mean Taoiseach and Tornister. But, you know, have you ever met Bono? Have you met Bono?
No, I didn't.
And I'm going to ask you that question, Maria. I mean, in your trade, you probably met them all.
Didn't meet Bono, but yes, I mean, I'm very lucky in my job. I meet a lot of authors and various who I've met along the way. But it's...
You met them all.
Well, yeah, one of the things I, you know, if you ask me what I love about Ireland is, and I think this was reflected in the ceremony as well, is just how much people value arts, be it music, be it books, be it...
And that's what makes Ireland great. And on that day, there was a harpist.
Yes, which was beautiful.
So
the music
beautiful.
Was fantastic. And my ceremony was just before Christmas. And even, you know, the army band was playing carols. And it was
wonderful.
Really front and centre of the ceremony. It was lovely. Oh,
absolutely wonderful. So what don't you like about the country? I know that's a difficult one to say because Liverpool is so similar.
Well, I tell you what, I actually, and coming from Liverpool, this might surprise you, but what took me a little while to get my head around was the slagging.
Well, it's constant.
Yeah, constant. Yeah. And I didn't realize to start with that it's a sign of affection.
Well, this is it. If someone's,
you know,
ripping
been,
you to pieces.
Yes, a little bit kind of, you know, offended or upset for a little while. And then I relaxed a little bit from that point onwards. And I think, you know, again, in terms of what I love here, I mean, there are the things that everybody always says about Ireland. There's the welcome, there's the humour. But there's a level of kind of relaxed interaction and friendliness that I think is, you know, it's like nowhere else on earth from that perspective.
And Abigail, what about you? What annoys you about this nation?
I mean, I know it was said before, but certainly the weather. I do miss the four seasons in America. I miss the heat and I miss the snow. No, I know we got snow recently, but I'm used to a lot more snow than that. So,
and we did. We got a little bit of snow. And did it land? Did it land near you, or was it, you know, just did you see it on the TV? Did you get any of it?
Yeah, we got a little bit, but it was gone in a few hours.
Yeah, and what do you think of, I suppose, Ireland's TV landscape, its cultural landscape when it comes to, I don't know, Fair City or The Late Late Show or programmes that on the radio or on the TV that kind of explain what Ireland is? And for people listening that perhaps are new here or just here for St. Patrick's weekend, how would you describe the country?
In terms of the cultural?
Yeah, and the TV. And what do you think of The Late Late Show? Obviously, you've been here 25 years, but what do you love about it?
I think, you know, again, I was saying, you know, I do think Ireland really invests in its, and you know, what a week to be discussing this with Cillian Murphy's win at the Oscars. I suppose, you know, when I first moved here, and I'm sure everybody finds this moving from another country, you know, shows like The Late Late Show, where it's very much focused on, you know, local local interests and local celebrities. That was a bit of a change, I guess. But once, you know, once you're here and you're used to...
You got to know them. I know, similar, when I came on the scene, getting to know Gay Byrne back in the day, back in 1990, and getting to know the culture and what was on TV and sport and GAA and stuff like that. Like, I'm going to ask the lads, I mean, when it comes to GAA, have the kids taken to GAA?
Well, GAA was introduced by one of our Muslim scholar, Umrul Qadri, when he arranged... Eid celebrations at Crook Park. And then later, my son, he went to school and he was really into GAA. And I was assuming he will go for some cricket or something like that, because I brought him to cricket stadium and gave him that kind of environment as well, that he will learn cricket. But he's more into GAA. So I think my next generation, one of my kid will be somewhere in sports, and that I think that would be GAA.
And what about you, Amit?
The elder kid is just into the junior infants at the moment, so he's obviously trying to get into it. I just tell him a little bit about GAA every day, and you know the Gaelic football, and obviously let him decide, you know, whatever he goes into. So it's a bit of kind of progress at the moment, so we'll see how it goes.
And Abigail and Maria, I mean, the Irish sport, what do you think? Camogie?
Wouldn't be terribly sport inclined myself. I suppose, you know, so many Irish people are interested in soccer, so the common ground for me would be Liverpool or
they love their Premier League more than the English. Yeah, they do. And for you?
Well, I've never really tried the GAA sports yet. I say that as I've just signed up for something at Trinity. So in a few weeks, I'm going to start GAA, learning how to play football.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm huge into sports, so I'm surprised I've waited this long to try it. For the past few years, I've been playing tag rugby and softball here. So I
understand you could represent Ireland for softball.
Yeah, I was selected for the national softball squad. We're doing training right now and we're going to go to the Czech Republic in July.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Unreal, to be honest.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, here you are. Here's, you know, not that long and you're representing the country. And there's smiles in this studio on this St. Patrick's Bank Holiday Monday. I just want to thank all of you for coming in today. Congratulations. Happy St. Patrick's weekend. Faisal, Abigail, Amit and Maria, thank you so much for making Ireland home.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ireland, and thank you, Henry.
So up next, we're here from people who've moved from New Zealand, Ukraine, Zimbabwe, making Ireland home.
Making Ireland home with Henry McKean on News Talk.
Welcome back. This is Making Ireland Home. I'm Henry McKean, and we're celebrating becoming Irish citizens and everything about, I suppose, moving or emigrating to Ireland. And I'm joined in studio again by some more great guests who've made Ireland their home. Michael Baskin, CEO of Ukrainian Crisis Centre Ireland. Jared Bromley, Communications Officer with the New Zealand Ireland Association. And Dr. Coletta Daly-Kenny, Lecturer in Social Care at Dundalk Institute of Technology. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here today. I'm going to start with you, Michael. What brought you here? Why Ireland?
Why Ireland? Good question. I haven't answered it yet.
When did you come here? When?
I came here in 2001. I was obviously, I'm from Ukraine, as you guess of the name of the organization I was working, I'm working now. And I was looking for just a better life, to settle somewhere. Was no work in Ukraine, so just work immigration. So we came here and we stayed a little bit in UK before that. We didn't really like it. And then we moved here to Ireland, like, you know, and it's became our home.
And it's your home now. And Coletta, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what brought you to this beautiful green country.
Okay, so like you said, my name is Coletta Daly-Kenny. I came to Ireland in the late 1980s, so a long time ago. And What brought me here, I came actually to Ireland to work as a volunteer with the LASH community, which is an organization which works with people with intellectual disabilities. So I had come across a guy called Jean Vanier. He was the founder of LASH Communities, and he spoke about LASH and the work that it does. And he mentioned that it was all over the world in different countries. But he recommended to come to Ireland because he said Ireland was warm. It has had warm-hearted people.
And
but
yeah, and how does
cold.
It compare to I suppose, the heat in Zimbabwe?
Well, it is warm-hearted people, but it's very cold. So it doesn't compare at all with the heat in Zimbabwe.
And, you know, you've been here since the 1980s. I mean, huge change. And then you have the Celtic Tiger. You've been here longer than me. I came here in 1990. Tell us about all those years.
Yes, when I first came to Ireland, I think Ireland was a different place. It was, I came to Cork. The community that I landed in was in Cork, and it was lovely. There were very few black people around, and people would stop and talk to you. They'd say hello. They'd be interested in where you were from. And so I finished my work with the LASH community, the volunteer work, and then I went on to study social work. And from there, then I went back home for a while, and I missed the rain and the cold so much that I had to come back.
You missed the rain and the cold?
Really? So I did. Well, I think Zimbabwe was going through a difficult time, mm-hmm. and we were thinking of where to go. And I suppose what you know is what you're drawn to. And because I had been to Ireland before, we decided we'd come back to Ireland.
And I've got a Kiwi in the house, Jared Bromley, from the New Zealand Island Association. You know, what brought you here? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up here.
Sure, Henry. So, yeah, I spent 2 years in the UK from 1999 to 2001. I wanted to stick around Europe for a little bit longer, primarily for travel. That was right why I came over in the first place, just on the overseas experience. So I had a 2 year working holiday visa, the UK. I looked around at a few other countries. I looked at Germany, I looked at the Netherlands, and I looked at Ireland, because they all did 12-month working holiday visas as well, up to when you before you turn 30. I chose Ireland. I guess the English speaking obviously helped. Culturally, I thought it was just a better fit. The English language, but just, yeah, in terms of culture with sport, the pub and stuff like that as a young lad. And originally I just came for 1 year. And then I actually ended up buying a gaff before I met my wife. She's a dub.
So you bought the house before
you met
her?
Yeah, I actually bought an apartment here out in Tala before I actually met her. I sort of decided to settle down here because I like the travel. I still like the travel part of it. But I ended up meeting her. So now we've got a house and 2 kids and a dog and a mortgage and all the rest of it.
And you used the word gaff. So that's perhaps the most Irish word I've heard all day. So that's the thing, New Zealand and Ireland. I haven't been to New Zealand, but I understand the culture is quite similar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your Dublin wife wouldn't be far off a Kiwi wife. Not that you're planning on trading.
She's probably going to listen to this, but I would be careful what I say. But yeah, no, it is very similar. She travelled to Australia as well, so she's into travel. I was mm-hmm. into travel. We're both Leinster rugby season ticket holders. I met her in Kylie's. You know, it's real stereotypical.
In Kylie's and Donnybrook.
In Donnybrook, yeah, before a bulldozer went through it, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And if that bulldozer came a year earlier, you might never have met.
Yeah, everything could have been different.
I've
been devastated. I was devastated, but yeah.
That's just wonderful, a wonderful story. And how does it feel to be an Irish citizen? And I understand there's quite a few things that you love here that are similar to home but different.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to travel, right, where you are on the map. The closest place from New Zealand is 3 hours to Australia. Here, you can obviously, I was catching up with some mates in Edinburgh last weekend, taking the kids to a West End show in London this weekend.
Fantastic.
You know, we went to Disneyland Paris for midterm break. So, you know, you go to the airport, mm-hmm. you've obviously got low-cost carrier, you know, got Ryanair and all the rest of it. So you just can't do that there. Leinster rugby season ticket holder, go to, you know, as many games like that. And like I said, just culturally within sport or whether it's rugby, you know, whatever the pub, whatever it is, it is very similar. I guess it's the travel that's, you know, that was the main reason why I came here into this day, and, you know, trying to get the kids into travel as well, because it's just Europe is on your doorstep, right? So, you know, you only live once.
And Michael, what are the things you love about Ireland?
I love a lot. Like, but I love Guinness as well.
Yeah. You do love Guinness?
Yes, I do love
Guinness. I love Guinness, too, actually.
And I can differentiate with Beamish as well, like, you know.
Oh, you like Beamish? It's kind quite chocolatey.
I can differentiate.
Yeah, and what about Murphy's? You like Murphy's?
Murphy's, not so much Murphy's, yeah. But, you know, I'm from, even I've been from Ukraine, mm-hmm. I'm part of the Dublin, like, you know, so I'm not supposed to be drinking Murphy's anyway, like, you know.
And what about you? What do you love, Coletta? Do you like Guinness?
No, I don't drink at all. I'm not into the drink scene, but I love the lifestyle. I think compared to the UK, life in Ireland is not hectic. It's quite, well, in Dundalk anyway, where I'm living, it's quite slow paced. I love the religious aspect of it, even though I'm not a holy Joe. I think that I love the church. I'm very involved in the church, and the Catholic Church is quite.
And Ireland is, despite everything, is still quite religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think so? Yeah. And like, you know, what do you love? What's the favorite thing you love about the country?
For me, it's very similar to New Zealand, right? And this is the first time I went out. You know, you go to out west, it's very picturesque. It's very nice. You know, obviously big cities everywhere, but you get out of the country and it's got some beautiful spots, beautiful beaches. The only problem with the beaches here is just the weather. It's unpredictable. But outside of that, it's very nice outside, you know, when you get out in the country. And that's one of the main things, I guess. And the Guinness.
Yeah. And what gets up your nose?
What gets up my nose?
Another difficult one.
I don't think it's unique to Ireland, to be honest. Some things, you know, just, I don't know, public service, civil service, whatever, you know, when you're dealing with hospitals and stuff like that, you know, they're under huge pressure, but that just annoys you when you have to deal with it. But sure, that's the world over. That's not unique to Ireland. You know, people give out about things.
Waiting lists.
Waiting lists and stuff like that. People give out about that. But sure, what country doesn't have that?
Yeah. I mean, what sort of challenges have you faced, Coletta?
Oh, challenges. Ah, I'm glad you asked about challenges, because while I love Ireland, I cannot get away from the fact that even though I have my Irish citizenship, I am Black Irish. And the challenges of racism are an ongoing lived experience for me, because that's just there. So even though I consider Ireland to be my home, and this is my second home.
And you are Irish.
Yes. And like, Ireland is like my second home. Even when I go back home to Zimbabwe, sometimes there are certain things and certain people. I've made friends and I've made these things I miss about the place. But the racism thing is just...
The racism is there. It's here in Ireland, isn't it?
It is. It is wherever you are, be it at work, be it on the streets, be it... And the lack of belonging, like I feel I belong here. I feel I've been here nearly 30 years.
You've been here longer than me.
Yes. So I kind of feel I belong. But people still ask me, oh, how do you like Ireland? And I say, I didn't get off the flight.
I've been here decades. Yeah.
So I love the place. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But that whole thing.
And it's difficult. The racism is difficult.
It is.
It has reared its ugly head. It's there.
It is. It is. It is the reality of how Irish society is
going
today.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. That is tough. And Michael, have you encountered anything like that?
Yes, I probably agree with Colette, because not to the extent what Colette may experienced it, because to the color of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ireland has changed. You know, in the last two decades, Ireland was, in some sense, maybe closed, but more welcoming in the same time. Like, you know, the Irish, in general, Irish public wouldn't know foreigners. Like, you know, the foreigners would be... not so many foreigners, even if 20 years, that's the, about that.
Yeah.
In 2001, there was a race when started raising the numbers of foreigners arriving in Ireland.
It's true. I know when I first moved to Ireland, most people were just Irish, born white Irish. There weren't people from around the world. There really wasn't. And there was me coming in from Scotland, but there was very, very few. And now when we look at it, Michael, the Ukraine war, now so many Ukrainian refugees have come here for solace, for safety, around 100,000. And obviously you're helping and working with them. It's a tough time with the war.
It is a tight time, like, you know, with the war, but most of Ukrainians appreciate, like, even if sometimes not understanding, like, you know, sometimes people Irish say in general, it's very general, like, you know, people asking me, are you facing, like, you know, what do you think about, you know, changing attitude towards Ukrainian refugees in the last 2 years? Like, you know, and I would say it's an attitude is more changing on social media, some voices from far right. Mm-hmm. But in general, Irish people still very well understand.
And they want to help.
And they want to help, like, you know, and that's what the Ukrainians meet every day. Like, you know, they don't meet far right people, so they're making a picture of Irish population in general, like, you know, and as in the last 2 decades, despite all the challenges with the racism, with not acceptance, maybe some groups are because they call far right, you know, they're breaking away from the general public perception of refugees. But Ireland became a very multicultural country, and I think it's greatly benefits Irish people, like, you know, and Ireland itself. And Ireland has the culture, I said maybe jokingly Guinness, but that's what we like, you know, the way of Irish presents themselves, like, you know, Irish culture, everything what makes Ireland attractive to the another one, like to the outsiders. That's maybe a sense of unity, and we're getting this, like, you know, I know Ukrainians, especially newly arrived Ukrainians, they understand this and they learn a lot how to society should be, you know, behave itself, like, because Ukrainians has to relearn a lot as well with the faced challenges. So the Ukrainians learning a lot, like, you know.
And Coletta, would you agree with some of that?
Yeah. I think I would echo those sentiments, because when I first came to Ireland, I mean, Ireland was a very different place. And I remember, actually, I used to go to the UK to get my hair done, because if I walked into the hairdressers, people wouldn't know what to do with my hair. But now it's really changed.
That's interesting. So they wouldn't know how to perhaps style your hair?
No.
Being from Zimbabwe?
No. And African hair is so different. And I remember, you know the way Irish people are. People would be looking to think, my God, what are we going to do with this? But today is different. These African shops, you can go and get your hair plaited.
And your hair is beautiful, by the way. Yeah,
braided, thank you. So it's the food even. You can get African food. I mean, you can get, there's a variety.
So you can get everything. Like, you could get your favorite chocolate bar from Zimbabwe now, couldn't you?
Well, not quite. I can get very close to it. Yeah.
That's interesting. And Jared, do you want to jump in there? Like, what do you think? Do you think Ireland has changed? Do you think we're perhaps more racist or more multicultural or all of the above?
I think it's probably more multicultural. I've been quite lucky, and it's probably because of my skin colour. And if I'm walking down the street, you probably can't really tell I'm a Kiwi.
You could be from Mullingar.
You're not wearing your
old
black t-shirt. Yeah.
Unless you're wearing something like that, right? But you know, I think I've been lucky. I haven't really had to deal with that. What the other guys have. But yeah, I think more multicultural. I think back at the time when I came in 01, I remember going out, lining up at immigration. There were 6 seats, right? Because no one was coming into the country then, right? And now you've got on Burkey, the immigration thing, and there's a couple of hundred seats because it's geared up for people who are trying to get visas here and stuff like that. So I think it is more multicultural. Like you say, there's just, you walk around the city centre and there's just the shops and the food emporiums and all that type of stuff for whatever nationality you are. Still can't get a good pie here, but apart from that,
you can't get a good pie.
Well, you can,
but so the Kiwis are good at pies, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not really the same. But anyway.
That's so interesting.
Not bad, actually. But anyway.
And what? And this is open to all of you. What's the best thing about this country? And also, what annoys you? What annoys you? And what's the best thing?
For me, it's proximity to Europe and the friendly people as well. Friendly people and your proximity. Things that annoy me, like I said before, it could be the train being late or. You know, waiting lists and stuff like that, but sure, that's not unique to here.
And Michael?
I'll probably be honest, Atlantic Ocean. the shores of Atlantic Ocean, like, you know, and I like to be there, like, you know, from being
You love the Atlantic?
Yeah, I love the Atlantic. I love to stand in there and face it, you know, the ocean, face it, the ocean waves, like, you know.
Oh, you like the big waves. Beautiful. Yeah,
and that's the scenery and whatever, like, you know, you can stand there on the shores of Atlantic and imagine, like, you know, ships going by to America, like, you know, your imagination, like, you know, the island. Yeah. It's more country in your head than probably on the map, like, you know, and it's huge country, like, you know.
And what annoys you, the weather?
You know, some things was annoying me, like, before, but again, going back to the war in Ukraine, I'm sorry, we can't break it apart from it, like, you know, you kind of revalue what you have, and I would say completely nothing. Maybe sometimes the streets of Dublin could be a bit cleaner.
Yeah, they could be. They could do with a good sweep. Coletta, for
the
you.
The weather for me really is, the weather is a challenge.
You're not a fan.
Getting up and looking at the grey skies, I have to say, that's a downer. But at the same time, the greenery around.
It's so green, isn't it?
Up for it. And I think that alongside the racism, that's the thing that we see today in Ireland, that there are still some very good people, some very well-meaning people and some very kind people. And I think I've made good friendships here. There are people who have been, I've made good friends who, even when I've gone back to Zimbabwe, they've visited me. When I've gone home for holidays, they've come and visited me. And so I must say that, and also Ireland has provided an opportunity for me as a person in my career, and it has provided an opportunity for my children. So whilst there is one side, that's the dark side of it, I think that the positives also outweigh the negative.
Well, that's great to hear. I just want to thank all of you, all my guests who've come in today on this St. Patrick's Day bank holiday, Michael, Jared and Coletta. What a privilege to have you. Happy St. Patrick's weekend. And this was Making Ireland Home. And thanks to my producer, Mark Simpson, and researcher, Hugh Keenan. I'm Henry McKean, and this is News Talk.
Making Ireland Home with Henry McKean on News Talk.